Hello, and welcome to another Media Briefs episode from Media Voices. Short, sharp episodes sponsored by vendors who are working with publishers to make their businesses better. This episode, I'm speaking with Manas Mediratta, CEO of No Code AI Developers Bridged Media, about how publishers can access the power of AI to improve reader engagement and revenue. I started my conversation with Manas by asking him how he came to found Bridged Media.
So I'm a repeat entrepreneur. I built my first company back in 2014. It was on shared mobility and I sold it in 2016. Since then, I've worked a lot in media and tech consulting. And one of the things that I realized when I was in that role was artificial intelligence and AI, whether you talk about generative AI, NLP, or machine learning algorithms, they're primarily used by very, very few players, mainly Google and Facebook, to really understand the audience, see what they want, engage them, and so on and so forth. And that has resulted in the media pie being shared or being taken away from the publishers. And we started this company, Bridged Media, with this objective, with this vision on how can we empower publishers by democratizing the access of AI.
So what does that process look like? What's that idea of democratization look like?
Yeah, so there are a lot of different things if you think about how AI is being used, right? Especially in the media sector, as I was mentioning, mainly for really understanding what the visitor really wants. Whether it's into whether the objective is to engage them, to show them an offer, really analyze them, and maybe even sell them ads, whether it's through direct ads or programmatic ads. But all of these algorithms are currently very, very inaccessible. When I say inaccessible, there are two main things to it, right? One is the talent. I think the talent resides mainly in these big tech companies that can really understand the algorithm and tailor it for a publisher. The second thing is definitely the cost in terms of the way you can build a proof of concept is not a simple thing. Publishers who have even been successful, even if you think about Wall Street Journal or New York Times with AI, have taken years to build a proper algorithm and spend millions. So if you think about it from and try to extrapolate it to the media sector, that would mean 99% of the publishers cannot do this. So really, to make it accessible, we feel that there are two main things to do, and that's what we have reflected in how we work with our clients as well. One is to reduce the amount of tech sprints that are needed to incorporate anything, to create a proof of concept for any use case that they have in AI. And the second, to make it really accessible, is build predefined modules, out-of-the-box solutions that can be utilized for any content infrastructure by doing some tweaks and configurations.
So the idea is really to create this access, these tools that even the smallest publishers can take advantage of.
And that's one of the key principles that we have, right? Where we don't want to charge a bomb like some of the other media tech companies which charge like 300K a year to build these kind of algorithms. We want it to be accessible for everyone. So we make sure that our tools can be used by publishers that have 50K impressions to publishers that have 50 million. It's more of a pay-as-you-go model. So it depends on how much of visitors are being processed with AI. And yes, that makes it more accessible to the smaller publishers as well.
So it's a classic SaaS model. It's just being used with AI.
Yeah. And if you think about no code in general, I think no code is something that has come up quite dramatically in the last few years, right? The combination of the fact that there is this technology which you can integrate to any technological stack to create improvements, and on the other side, the AI algorithms that exists now in a much more accessible way, whether you talk about Gen AI, opening up APIs to do Gen AI things, or even the machine learning models becoming more and more prevalent and more socialized. I think all of this has contributed to creating a more focused product for publishers that, as I said, can help them gain more power in the ecosystem.
Do you think with AI, one of the problems is there aren't that many no-code solutions? Or if there are, they're not specifically tailored for publishers?
Yeah, I think the second one is more problematic, right? Especially for the media ecosystem. Most of the AI tools that exist would either be for e-commerce, where you're having an e-commerce store. It might be for, you know, other big, big market value sort of industries. Fashion is one where AI is big, e-commerce, finance. But when you talk about publishers, there is an intrinsic problem, right, in the industry when you think about creating no-code solutions. Number one is the publisher revenue has decreased pretty much for each and every publisher, if you think about it from the Western world. And number two is that I like to call publishers unicorns, because it's not from the startup unicorn, which could be a billion. But they're unicorns from the point of view of the way they have created their business model. I don't know if I've met two publishers that have identical business models. Everyone has, some of them are collecting emails, some of them are promoting events, some of them are even adding e-commerce, affiliate, you name it. There are at least 10 business models that a medium to large scale publisher is employing. So it's really creating B2B tools are not that easy. To give a very quick summary, you know, on how we approach this problem is, one is you need to know when to engage the audience. Where is their likelihood to interact with you? Number two is giving them the right offer, whether the offer is a subscription offer or an ad offer, or just a value exchange for giving their email. And number three is really analyzing what happened in a session. When you look at these three basic fundamental blocks for a publisher, what we have done is we've intelligently placed our own models and created a lot of proprietary models to solve these three problems. Now, you can package these problems in different jobs to be done for a publisher, right? They might want to collect more emails. So the way we work is the solution will first find where the visitor is most likely to give you an email, whether it's with their emotion, whether they have high attention. Then it will find what is the right offer to give to them, whether you want to engage them and give an email, whether you want to lock a poll that you can collect an email for, and then really understand what is working. What are the topics? What are the keywords? What are the moments in which we were able to collect more email and create a full use case using these three building blocks? And they can be extrapolated for everything, whether you want to show them ads, whether you want to create more recirculation within your content. All of them have these three main building blocks.
I guess this is simplifying it ridiculously, but as a focus on making sure that the audience gets what is the best thing that you can deliver to them at any given time?
Yeah, no, at the end of the day, the KPI that we track is the ARPU, average revenue that you'll be able to generate per user. And that comes in different forms, right? Depending on what are the different underlying KPIs that you're tracking. Are you increasing the time on the site? Are you increasing the number of emails you collected? Did you increase the amount of session length that you had? All of them are, you know, those underlying KPIs to ARPU.
So can you give me some examples of what this looks like actually from a publisher's point of view?
Yeah, sure. So there are a couple of very relevant examples. No, I'll talk about one sports publisher that we work with, where their email collection rate was close to 0.1%. But really first analyzing their audience of what are the trigger points for their audience? What are the keywords? What are the topics that actually work? We were able to create a very customized and personalized journey that increased the amount of emails 10 times. Now, the way you monetize the email is very differently, and we've seen that as well in different publishers. But that was a very interesting example to see how you can generate more email lists by really understanding your audience using AI and eliminating all the guesswork, right? Another example that we have that I actually launched today was a Spanish publisher, where they wanted to increase the amount of time spent on the page. They have internally discussed that given the changes in OpenAI and generative models, their best bet is to keep the user on the page. So what we have done is with AI, it finds when is the user expected to leave. The AI essentially estimates what is the exact moment when the visitor will leave, and then it tries to engage them and show them different articles that are very specific to their interest, because the AI also understands what the user profile is. The beautiful thing about AI is it scales. It really scales and creates personalization that you cannot essentially achieve with any other A/B testing.
So is it doing that through recirculating existing content?
The solution of recirculation can be used to solve many problems that publishers have, right? One is, of course, keeping them within the content and, you know, making sure that you're able to serve the right content at the right time. The other things could be taking them to pages that are more valuable to you, right? We actually call this use case redirection to dollar pages. Whether you're promoting events, whether you're promoting white papers to be downloaded, whether you're taking them just to an e-commerce page that you might be looking at, the principle stays the same. When is the user most likely to take this action? What is the right screen to show them? What is the right offer to show them? And how to learn from that experience and analyze it.
So instead of letting them just leave and disappear, you're giving them something else.
Yeah.
Something that is either valuable to them or ultimately valuable to you.
Exactly. And in fact, the case study that I was telling you about, we have increased the recirculation 15 times. Imagine the amount of new sessions that you've been able to generate, the amount of learnings that you've been able to generate, the amount of loyalty that your user would have given the experience that you've given to them. It all adds up to that overall KPI of average revenue per user.
So we're kind of just at the beginning of this AI revolution, if you want to call it that. What's the next steps? What's Bridged looking at for the future?
No, at the moment, I think we are very focused on solving this problem of how to allow publishers to adopt AI as fast and as securely as possible. In fact, there is this primary research we have done with 300 publishers in US and Europe, and 95% of them actually want to adopt AI. Now, we're going to go through this journey with different use cases as we build over time, because if 95% of a market is trained, you have to do a lot to satisfy them. So we are going at one major use case at a time. So we are creating solutions for capturing emails, recirculating. We've also started building and doing a lot of pilots on delivering ads better with AI, which is direct ads. That in my opinion, actually empowers publishers. I think programmatic was just a big failed experiment, a two-decade experiment. But the jury is still out on that.
One of the things that I think people are looking at AI is just that idea of automation. Taking care of stuff that is, you know, resource intensive. Is that something that's sort of fundamental to what you're looking at?
Yeah, I always ask my team to look at any use case or any solution that we build either on request from a publisher or based on our hypothesis as a vitamin or a painkiller. Is it a vitamin to a publisher or is it a painkiller? Typically, automations would typically sit in painkillers because there will be a lot of people involved. There'll be issues in terms of manual overrides, copying things, and so on and so forth. And automation can really help you solve that. And the beauty of AI is it can really understand what it needs to automate and then automate it rather than, you know, waiting for human inputs. So it's a mixed bag. We usually have a mixed bag between vitamins and painkillers. We have about 20 different solutions that come out of the box that tackle issues such as how to engage, engagement-related use cases, reader revenue-related use cases, ad revenue-related use cases, data-related use cases, but they usually fall into the vitamin or painkiller category, and some of it is automation.
I love that idea of a painkiller. That was brilliant. Software painkillers for publishers. So just to finish up, those 95% of publishers that want to use AI but aren't maybe using it just now, what would your advice to them be?
For me, the biggest roadblock in terms of the cold start problem is that really identifying what is the one use case that they can start with and how to ensure that it is an ROI positive use case is the first thing that they need to crack. That, okay, I want to keep people in my infrastructure, so I'm going to invest in an ML recommendation system. This is how I'm going to monitor it. This is the ROI that I see. If you're able to crack that, then it becomes a flywheel. You can create different proof of concepts given the accessibility of AI and really take benefit of the AI ecosystem and not be in that 95%. Be in that 5% that is already implemented.
Thanks so much to Manas for speaking with me. If you'd like to learn more about Bridged Media and how their publisher-first no-code AI tools can help your business, please go to bridged.media. And if you want more from Media Voices, go to voices.media and check out our archive of almost 300 podcast episodes, or sign up for our daily Media Roundup newsletter.